The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome back, everybody. It is Tuesday. Today is the 24th of March, 2020. You know, I feel compelled to say that at the beginning of the show, because who knows where this is going? For all we know, life as we know it could be done, you know, in 2 or 3 months' time. And what we leave behind will be for future life forms to discover. I don't know. All I know is that we have an idiot in the White House. We've known that for almost 4 years now, but it is just getting so out of control. The good news is there won't be one of his disaster coronavirus briefings today, because they did the thing on Fox so-called news earlier today. I only caught a little bit of it. My TV does not go to Fox. And then I kept seeing comments on Twitter about it. So I tuned over for a few minutes, and it's just more of the same. This man is fucking insane. And why anybody listens to him, I don't know. I do not know. This one, I'm going to play. I promise you I will not overload you with Trump clips. I have very little. I didn't pull anything from today. But I have this one clip from yesterday. Actually, two short ones from yesterday. The first one is the moron in chief bitching that, well, let me just, I probably won't last more than like 10 seconds into it before my head explodes. But this is the kind of shit he's saying.
The bill that is being contemplated by the Senate right now has a fund that has hundreds of billions of dollars for the Treasury Department to use to bail out states and localities, as well as specific industries such as cruises and hotels. Will you commit publicly that none of that taxpayer money will go towards your own personal property?
Okay, so you hear the question. The question was, this bill that the Senate still has yet to pass has this huge fund to bail out big corporations, including many in the travel industry, including airlines, hotels. I have some thoughts on that stuff. Maybe we'll get to it at some point. But this reporter said, can you guarantee that you personally, your businesses will not benefit from this fund? We want to know that you're not going to be personally enriched by this legislation, by this bailout. And listen to how the idiot answers.
Anytime I do it, like for instance, I committed publicly that I wouldn't take the $450,000 salary. It's a lot of money, whether you're rich or not. It's a lot of money. And I did it. Nobody cared. Nobody said thank you. Nobody said thank you very much.
Nobody said thank you because, yeah, you're not taking the $450,000 a year presidential salary, but you've cost us over $327 million for your fucking golf games. Seriously, someone did the math, and it's something like a presidential salary for many hundreds of years is what we in taxpayer dollars have paid for his golf outings. That's the kind of shit. It's all me. It's all about him. All right. I need a palate cleanser after that. So once again, Randy Rainbow did it. He gave us a new song over the weekend. So I enjoyed it in the privacy of my own home. But now I get to share it with you because, as you know, I like to start the show with something funny because, well, as you can already tell, we get a little worked up because we deal with a lot of serious shit during the rest of the show. So let's start with the funny, thankfully today, courtesy of Randy Rainbow. Take it away, Randy!
Joining us now is Vice President and Dance Captain of the Coronavirus Task Force, Mike Pence. Mike, give us your assessment of where we are right now with the coronavirus, which Donald Trump has recently started calling the Hillary flu, or in medical terminology, Obamatitis nanciis pelosis, or COFIFI 19.
All of our experts tell us, and they advise the president as he endorsed these guidelines to avoid social gatherings of more than 10 people, everyone should stay home. All of those recommendations are part and parcel.
I'm sorry, you want us to stay home? Oh, I wish that I could help you, sweetie, but my schedule is crazy right now. I've got Pilates after work. I've got brunch on Sunday. Oh, and next week is Passover, so I'm in Cancun for the annual Blacklight Underwear Foam Party. I already bought those tickets.
What we're pleased to learn is being embraced by states and communities and millions of American families are what we believe is important for every American to significantly impact the spread of the coronavirus.
I have always led such an active life. I'm a social butterfly and kind of a whore. But this COVID spread now is running rife. And my country needs me, so I won't be anymore. I will break the chain. I will social distance, though it sounds mundane. Though I'll be a grouch, my community now relies on me.
Thank you for your efforts.
I will save the human race by lying on my couch. I'll stay home from work for a million days. I will order Grubhub and I'll eat by myself. I will shop online, let my FOMO blaze. I will do my duty till there's Charmin on the shelf. I will crush the curve. I will social distance. I'll be here to serve. While I'm watching Disney Plus, there are lives to save, so I must be brave. I'll defeat the enemy by binging This Is Us. Like my ancestors before me who were called to Vietnam, I'll sit home all day and FaceTime with my mom.
Every American to step forward and recognize that if we act now, we can limit the spread of the coronavirus significantly and ultimately save lives.
I will save the day. While I clean my closets, I will skip the gym. Till this plague has passed from 6 feet away. I will social distance.
Back up.
Sorry.
I will do home.
We can limit the spread of the coronavirus significantly and ultimately save lives.
We will crush the curve. We will turn the tide. But for now, just suck it up and stay the fuck inside.
That is awesome. Oh my God. The awesome Randy Rainbow. He's just so good. He's just so clever. And the thing about him is he does all of that himself. As you know, from one person who does everything herself to another, I have great respect for that awesomeness. One thing that this sheltering in place, that this social distancing is doing, is it's giving a lot of creative people time to be creative. So let me share with you one more funny for now. Maybe we'll do more. You know what? We've been on this sort of my corona kick. I should say my corona knack. Get it? Ha ha ha. There's another one. Now I can't stop finding the my corona parodies. So here's one more for you. I don't know who did it. Some guy on the internet. Here we go.
for panic mode makes me delirious. My, 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 yeah, yeah, woo! My, 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 my corona. Ooh, you better stay inside, stay inside. Don't know who's infected, so hide corona. Everybody rush the stores, rush the stores. Hoarding toilet paper now, hide corona. Some gloves, take your temperature, follow all the rules. Don't be a crazy adventurer. My, 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 yeah, yeah, woo! My, 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 my corona. My corona.
It ended just like that. My corona. See, everyone's getting their creativity on. So, you can be creative too. Right, I know. Like some of the productions are really elaborate, but I say everybody do your best. My Corona parody, or it should be my Sharona parody, but you know what I'm saying. Because I have a feeling we're going to be at this for a while. Anyway, Gotta Laugh is here. Well, we'll be here because it's Tuesday. But I'll tell you what. Before we get to Laffy, let's get to the news, shall we? And what the hell? May as well. We'll do it live. Damn it!
I read the news today.
Do it live.
Oh,
do it live.
Okay.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Okay. All right. Hold on. I was going to
add in.
Fucking
thing sucks.
It still cracks me up every time I hear it. All right. Sorry. So let's get to the news, shall we? There's certainly a lot going on. So here's the latest. The Senate Democrats blocked the now over $2 trillion coronavirus rescue bill from advancing to a full vote for a second straight day yesterday. But it looks like they're close to it today. Anyway, what happened is the Democrats were arguing that the then current version of the legislation didn't do enough for American families. Senator Joe Manchin, of all people, was fighting hard with Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor. He said the bill, which gives the Trump administration wide latitude to dole out a $500 billion fund for businesses, states, and cities, makes the Senate appear, here's a direct quote, more focused on the big corporations and the health of Wall Street than we are on the health care of the people in rural America and Main Street. I think that's the most honest thing I've ever heard Joe Manchin say. And so Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said senators need to strike a deal and get the aid approved quickly. This country is out of time. Well, despite the propaganda being pushed by the Republicans and oh my God, the stuff that they're, you know, putting out there, the Democrats want to, you know, they want the Green New Deal as part of this rescue bill. No, they don't. They want emission standards for airlines. No, they don't. They're lying to you. So despite all the propaganda being pushed by the Republicans, Elizabeth Warren explained to many people, but here I've got a clip from Bloomberg News. The reason the Democrats oppose this bill centers on protecting the workers over the big corporate honchos.
In this bill, there are checks for everyday Americans. The reason this bill hasn't gone through is because of Democratic senators. Do you want to be the person that's stopping people from getting their checks to meet their rent at the end of this month?
Excuse me. The reason this bill has not gone through is because of Republican senators and because of a Republican leadership that pretended to negotiate for 3 days with the Democrats. And then at the end of that time, basically introduced their own bill that did not have compromises and that did not make sure that the money is going down to the grassroots. Look, it's going to take people from both parties to get this through. Now, we've laid out what our principles are, and that is you can't give $500 billion to giant industry and not help people at
the grassroots.
So, Senator,
why don't we strip out the bailout side of the bill, spend the rest of the week debating that, and then get through the rest and get it done quickly so people can actually receive some money.
So I'd love to strip out the bailout part of the bill and just concentrate on student loans, unemployment insurance, on increasing Social Security, on getting help to small businesses, and on making sure we're getting the money to our hospitals and our testing facilities. I'm glad to do that, Bill. Let's do it right.
Let's do it right now, I think is what she said. So the total number of COVID-19 infections in the U.S. rose above 41,000 yesterday. And the death toll, is, well, when I wrote this morning, it's at surpassed 570. Now it's up over 600. Massachusetts and Maryland join a growing number of states ordering non-essential businesses to shut down. But Donald Trump suggested in a nearly two-hour briefing yesterday and doubled down on it again today in this Fox so-called news thing that he did, that he would push for reopening U.S. businesses quickly, saying America would soon be open for business because we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. He actually said that. And then he claimed more people would die. I can't make this shit up. More people would die as a result of a bad economy than from the coronavirus itself. Seriously.
America continues to mow lives
to
every segment of our society to turn the tide in the battle against the virus. I want Americans to know that we will get through this challenge.
What?
The hardship will end. It will end soon. Normal life will return.
What the fuck is he talking about?
And our economy will rebound. We cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. This is not a country that was built for this.
What?
It was not built to be shut down.
Okay, what country? What country was built to be shut down?
I just said, I don't want it. I don't. The 15-day period will make a decision as to which way we want to go, where we want to go, the timing. And essentially, we're referring to the timing of the opening.
What?
Essentially, the opening of our country.
Oh, God.
We have 160, almost 160 million. I want my salary. I work for zero. I don't want my salary. Nobody said, oh, thank you very much.
Oh, wait
much.
A minute. That's the wrong thing. Hold on.
In jobs in this country now, the most ever, by far the most ever.
What?
The number of jobs, almost 160 million.
What?
So we can't turn that off and think it's going to be wonderful. There'll be tremendous repercussions. There will be a tremendous death.
What?
From that. Death.
What?
You know, you're talking about death.
What?
Probably more death from that than anything that we're talking about with respect to the virus.
Okay, so that was yesterday. He said there's going to be more death from this if we continue, you know, if the economy is shut down the way it is, if all non-essential businesses are shut down, there's going to be more death. Well, he doubled down on it in this thing over at Fox Noise. I kid you not, this is what the man who is inexplicably the president of the United States said on Fox just today when trying to explain why he wants to send people back to work while we're still in the throes of a global pandemic that's going to kill millions of people.
Look, you're going to lose a number of people to the flu, but you're going to lose more people by putting a country into a massive recession.
It's already there.
Depression.
We're already there.
You're going to lose people. You're going to have suicides by the thousands. You're going to have all sorts of things happen. You're going to have instability. You can't just come in and say, let's close up the United States of America, the biggest,
really,
the most successful country in the world by far.
That's wrong on so many levels. Oh, my God. The sad truth is that in the real world, the United States has the highest rate of increase on the planet, with numbers rocketing up with each successive day. The charts are frightening. Healthcare workers across the country are begging for more supplies, specifically respirator masks. The shortage has gotten so bad that people are sewing masks to send to hospitals as a stopgap. The CEO of 3M, the largest producer of medical face masks, said that all 3M masks should go to healthcare workers on the front lines. The acute demand has put pressure on Trump to activate the Defense Production Act to mandate private companies to mass produce needed medical supplies during the crisis, but he won't go there. You know why? Because his business leader buddies don't want that. And that's who he answers to. The announcement of some possible treatments by this moron who has no medical background and no clue what the fuck he's talking about has sparked another rush on supplies. Some U.S. states have had to take measures to prevent stockpiling and shortage of the drugs chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine, which are used to treat malaria and other conditions and might possibly work to treat the coronavirus, but there's no guarantee they'll work, or more importantly, no guarantee that they're safe. And yes, A man in Arizona died and his wife is now in critical condition after they tried to self-administer chloroquine phosphate to prevent the virus. This guy needs to shut the fuck up. And instead, he just silenced Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's foremost infectious disease specialist. Something's wrong with this picture. And, you know, we made fun of the UK installing Boris Johnson as prime minister, but he's more sensible than Donald Trump. Johnson yesterday announced a nationwide lockdown for at least 3 weeks to reduce the spread of the new coronavirus. That means every non-essential shop in the UK is shut down. Public gatherings are effectively banned. Funerals will be the only social events allowed. Police will have the authority to issue fines and disperse gatherings to enforce compliance. Johnson said the rules will be under constant review and the restrictions could be eased after 3 weeks. He said only a huge national effort can slow the virus and ensure the UK's healthcare system is not overwhelmed. So how, I mean, Boris Johnson has more sense than Donald Trump. I guess we knew that was the case, but it takes this to show us. Unbelievable. Now, if you're among the millions of people who've been furloughed or fired due to the virus, there are some companies hiring. Retailers like CVS and Walmart are looking. CVS looking at 50,000 positions and Walmart 150,000. Albertsons, which owns several food and drug retail chains, wants to hire 30,000 new employees to keep up with increased demand. And Amazon and grocery service Instacart have seen online ordering and delivery demand skyrocket. So Amazon plans to add 100,000 people for full and part-time roles in its delivery network and fulfillment centers. And Instacart is hiring too. So if you are, you know, itching one to get out of the house and need to get back to work because we need an income, hello. Sorry, there are some possibilities for you. Yeah. Couple of things. There is other news going on. Believe it or not, other things are happening. So in other news, Colorado became the 22nd state to abolish the death penalty yesterday. Governor Jared Polis signed legislation banning capital punishment in the state and commuted the death sentences of death row inmates, four of them who were now sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. So that happened. The summer's Olympic Games will now be the 2021 Olympic Games for the first time in history ever. The Olympics have been postponed. And California utility Pacific Gas and Electric has agreed to plead guilty to 84 counts of involuntary manslaughter, all in connection with the campfire in 2018. This is pretty huge. PG&E also agreed to plead guilty to one count of starting the fire, which investigators say began with a failure of the company's electrical line. So under the deal, PG&E will establish a $13.5 billion trust fund to compensate victims of the campfire and other wildfires, as well as pay hundreds of millions to local entities affected by the blazes. Yes, the campfire killed 85 people in 2018 and destroyed thousands of structures. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. As I always say on the recorded version, if you appreciate What's News and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. I'm not behind a paywall. Everything is free. It's the honor system. If you can afford it, I'm truly asking for your monetary support because I need it to keep going. All right. With that, you know what time it is, don't you? It's that time of the week again. Hit it. Lauren Mayer with the theme song.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Aha! We have our own theme song. So every Tuesday, we get together with Gotta Laugh. We do it virtually across the country. She in California, I'm in Florida, and we shoot the shit about the news, and we go through Laffy's Twitter feed to find out what's going on, because it is pretty much the most up-to-date way of gleaning the news. Anyway, first we got to get Laffy on the line. So, hello.
Yes, you've reached the social distancing with Ivanka hotline.
You know, we had a request for Ivanka to return to the show today. So very cool. Okay. Hello.
Yes. Press one if you think Ivanka said, I finally have a reason why Daddy can't be in the room with me while I'm getting a massage.
Okay. That's kind of creepy.
Press two if you think Ivanka said, my Jared has always been squeaky clean. He's been washing his hands every 20 minutes since our honeymoon.
I somehow believe that.
Press three if you think Ivanka said, I told my sweatshop kids that for their own safety, they don't have to come to the factory. They can work 19 hours a day at home.
Okay. That's mighty generous of you, Ivanka. Mighty generous of you.
That's the kind of woman I am. I'm a role model.
I see. So have you been tested yet?
Daddy tests me every day, believe me.
This is really creepy.
Not in that way.
No?
I get tested. Yeah. I've been tested and I got an A for the coronavirus.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I only take the best tests.
I see. Is it multiple choice or essay?
Oh, it's multiple choice. I don't know how to express myself any further than A, B, and C.
I got you. I see. So what do you think about your dad wanting to reopen everything sooner rather than later before the spread of the virus has run its course?
I said to him, Daddy, are we still going to have then the Easter egg roll that you canceled? Because it's not making much sense if we don't have it.
Right.
And Daddy told me to shut the fuck up.
Oh, I like that one. Yeah. Oh my God.
How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Look, you know what? This is not a big change for me. I'm still in my same home studio. I've been working out of my home studio for about 15 years now. So, you know, and despite my outgoing nature on this show, I'm actually quite the introvert. Unless I'm talking to a big crowd of people, I'm shy. I don't go out and socialize. I don't have a lot of friends. I don't do things. What I've been doing for the last year, as you know, is volunteering at the animal shelter. And sure enough, last weekend they closed us down early, and then this weekend we were allowed to come in. They shut us down early on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Said everybody go home. But then we were allowed to come back in on Sunday, but they shut us down early again. And now they're closed. It's closed to the public. There are still, thankfully, staffers working, allegedly walking the dogs and cleaning the kennels, and they're doing fosters and adoptions online only. So basically, many of these dogs they're just going to be neglected, and I hate to think of what's going to happen to them. So if you're anywhere you are in the country, you're going to be home for a few weeks, foster a dog or a cat. Right now, it's kitten season, so there are all these litters of newborn, neonatal kittens who need to be dropper fed. You can, at least here in Broward County, Florida, go in and get a box of a litter of kittens to take home for a couple of weeks and feed them, hand feed them until they reach 2 pounds, and then you bring them back and they can be adopted. But there's such a need. And for dogs, you know, look, I posted the cutest picture this morning. I came in here, I wake up, I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I came in, I did What's News. And then I thought, I'm going to go lie down for another hour or two. And that was my game plan. And Jackson, you know, when I lay down in bed and he jumps up next to me and cuddles with me. But today he brought his little rope toy and all he wanted to do was play. So I took a couple of pictures of him. I was like, I was going to go back to sleep, but Jackson had other ideas. This is the thing right now while we're home, a dog is such a great companion. So I urge people, wherever you are, foster a dog for, you know, a month or so. You'll probably fall in love and it'll be a foster fail. But either way, you help get the animal out of the shelter where they're going to be completely neglected while we can't go in there and help them. So anyway, off my soapbox.
We have the identical life because this hasn't affected me at all. I mean, I'm at home doing my little Twitter correspondent thing. And, you know, I rarely go. I'm just like you. I'm very you know, playful and stuff, but I don't go out of my way to go to social events ever.
Nope,
I'm not a party girl. Nope, I love a one-on-one type of relationship with people. I have a very small circle of friends that are spread all over the country. So it's not like I go out.
Me too. Right. My friends are all in Los Angeles. I mean, aside from the few people I've met with doing the dog stuff, I don't have friends down here in Florida. My husband and my kid are my friends. All my friends from, you know, 15 years of life, work, that were combined. I mean, I did music radio in Los Angeles. It was, my social life was just mixed in with my work life. It was one and the same.
Exactly.
So that's where all my friends are. They're all out there. So I don't have anybody here that I hang out with. So the
animals. My best friend moved to Idaho of all places. And the type of work I was doing before was, while I was doing all this political stuff, was directing theater. And then that finally stopped. And so, like you said, your social life is intermingled with that happens in show business. You tend to just hang out with everybody and party with everybody that you're working with. And then once a show is over, or you, if you have a different, you know, like I was with the same group over and over again, but if you're working with a show, once the show is over, you rarely see those people again because they're busy going elsewhere doing whatever they do. So, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Mr. Laffy is working at home. They gave him his edit machine
because
he produces Naked and Afraid, and he has to go through and create a storyline out of, you know, hours and hours of raw footage.
So now he has his editing set up at home. That's nice for you, right?
It's great. I was really worried because he was still going in, but he did work in an isolated room, thank goodness. But they fixed it somehow. They had to do something electronically to get him to be able to connect.
Sure. Right. Well,
so, yeah, they figured it out. I wish they had done this ages ago, but they figured it out. So, yeah, he's working at home, and that's great. The kids came over and we all sat outside and 10 feet apart. So I got to see my boys. One of them goes in today for his first infusion for years. He has Crohn's, as I've mentioned here. And he was supposed to, he had surgery, it's been about, I don't know how many months ago, but he was doing much better. But then he took an MRI. It turned out he had ulcerations and inflammation. So they're making him start infusions again of scary, awful medicine that I hate to think about.
Oh, God.
And so I didn't want him to go in, but luckily it's not at a hospital. He goes in.
I feel like, you know, Donald Trump here. Has he tried medical marijuana? Because I know there is an Israeli company, I forget what they're called, but one of the dispensaries here carries their products, Tikkun something.
Yeah, I know. He's up on all of that.
Okay.
Nothing has helped.
No, shit.
Nothing.
That's too bad.
I mean, he's also a nutritional scientist. He has his master's in nutritional science.
Oh, gee. Thanks to Trump saying Clarinicue or whatever could cure the coronavirus, another person has died from taking
it. Oh, no.
Yep. Another person.
All right. Anyway, so he's up on everything, diet, everything. He tried for years and years to get off his meds and just do dieting.
Yep.
But it just... You know, Crohn's is awful.
It's hard.
So,
really bad.
He's going in about 45 minutes to this place that's luckily not a hospital. And it's a small boutique center where people go and get infusions and hang out for an hour and then come home. And so after that, he gets to self-inject at home, which he never got to do before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just this one visit. And I'm just praying that this, and I don't even pray, that this one visit is a safe visit and that he comes home and he stays healthy as he can. So... That's my stress of the day.
Got it.
Let's do tweeties because I want to get mad at Trump instead of thinking about this.
Okay. It's easy to get mad at Trump. My God. All right. Let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my tweet
All right. So, you know, it's funny because I was watching, I was busy doing other stuff. And then I, you know, looked at Twitter and I saw all the comments on Trump's thing at Fox. And so I actually turned it on my computer for a few minutes just in time to hear him talking about how so many people, millions of people are going to commit suicide if the market continues crashing. Like, I mean,
he's so full of crap. That's such a dangerous thing to say.
You think?
So stupid and wrong and stupid.
Oh, my God. It's what a sickening. Jerk.
I wouldn't watch it. I refuse to turn Fox on also, but I was live tweeting other people's live tweets.
Yeah. Yep.
So it was as idiotic as you would expect it to be. And I may have, I can't even remember because I never remember what I tab for the show until I see it again. But let's start. I'll show you.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, here. Ken Delanian of NBC has something to say.
Okay.
He says, it's come to this. This has nothing to do with the interview. It's come to this. Trump asked if South Korea can provide the U.S. with medical equipment to respond to COVID-19. And President Moon replied saying, I will offer as much when there are surplus to share.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's come to Trump asking South Korea for help.
You know, which is really weird because I hear that Trump called or offered North Korea help like we have help to give.
I don't know what that was. I remember tweeting that yesterday or the day before that he was offering help to his boyfriend.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden he's asking South Korea for help, which is
it makes
insane.
No sense.
Had he done everything he was supposed to do, he wouldn't ask anyone for help.
Right. Because Donald Trump loves dictators. That's what it's, you know, forget the taters part. He just loves dick. I guess that's what it is.
Indeed.
Ba-dum-bum. I know I have a rim shot somewhere. I don't know where. Go ahead.
It's okay. All right. Senator Richard Burr, you know, the one that's in trouble for.
Found it.
There we go. Anyway,
yes,
Senator
Richard Burr,
whose own state is turning on him now.
As they should.
He's now being sued in federal court by a shareholder in Wyndham Hotels and Resorts who's alleging that Burr used private information to motivate a mass liquidation of his assets.
Oh,
securities fraud.
Oh, my God.
It's a shareholder suit accusing him of securities fraud. So not only is it insider trading accusations, but now he's got securities fraud on top of that. That comes from Kyle Griffin, an MSNBC producer.
Wow. Richard Burr needs to go.
Oh, well, his own state is calling for his resignation.
Good. As they should.
So let's hope he listens.
Yep.
What a duty head. this is what I'm
asshole
turning. Yeah. Yes, thank you.
That was key.
Much better than duty head.
Yep.
You're a duty head.
That's all I'm up for today. Okay. I'm so my head is not in the show today, just so, in case you haven't noticed.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Okay. There you go.
Bad stinky pooper.
All right. Pray the germs away. Liberty U, President Jerry Falwell Jr., a longtime Trump supporter, welcomed students back to campus this week despite explicit social distancing guidelines from both the White House and the state of Virginia.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, they're welcoming people back from spring break and saying, come pray with us. Come pray with us. God will take care of your coronavirus.
Yes.
Yeah.
God will take care of everything. Just ask Vice President Pius McKissass. He's about as, you know, let us pray this away as anybody can get.
Oh, well, of course. But they believe that. My stomach is still churning from seeing the photo of one of their coronavirus task force meetings where they all bow their heads in prayer.
Yes.
Ugh, God.
Oh, God, I hate that. Okay. So Jared Yates Sexton, a political analyst, associate professor, he said Trump just said he wants to reopen the country by Easter, to which Fox News host says it would be a wonderful American resurrection. And then he goes on to say, he actually does a whole thread. But I'm just going to read you the first part. You need to understand something. The cult of Trump is a merging of white supremacy, religion, nationalism, and the worship of capitalism.
That
was his answer. Then he does a whole thread on it, which I won't go into. It's just very long and wordy, but that's the gist of it. That he talks about, you know, the combination of those things.
Yep.
I mean, that interview or whatever it was, a town hall, was ridiculous. Okay, so Daniel Dale was tweeting about the town hall, and he said, Trump is talking about the number of flu deaths. We don't turn the country off because of that. He says, he then invokes car accidents. He says, we didn't tell car companies stop making cars. Well, what Trump doesn't realize is that cars are not contagious. They don't multiply exponentially, and deaths by car do not multiply exponentially, and cars are regulated. viruses or not.
That's right.
So, you know, and also I don't know if I have this in a tweet, but as Lawrence points out, this country, like Trump didn't shut this country down and isn't going to start it back up again.
Right.
The governors are handling this.
Yep.
Trump has nothing to say about it.
You know, it's interesting. With all, look, I've never been a big Andrew Cuomo fan. He's a bit too right wing for me, but his father I adored, and so I.
Yeah.
The last couple of days, I posted a picture on Facebook a couple of days ago of me with Mario Cuomo, who was amazing, and I worked when I was just a little kid. You know, young and out of college, I worked at WMCA in New York, and produced a monthly statewide Ask the Governor call-in show with Mario Cuomo every month for a few years. So I posted a picture the other day, and then I came across a letter of recommendation that he wrote for me. So I just posted that too. It's like if Andrew, you know, and I just not take anything away from Andrew Cuomo. Again, I'm not a big fan of his policies on a normal day, but he is doing a great job in leading New York through this horrible mess that we're in. He is the leader that New York needs at the moment. And what I said the other day was, if he's one-tenth the man his father was, then New York is in pretty good hands.
Yeah, I've been watching him every single day, and he is everything Trump is not.
That's right.
Yes, I agree with you on his politics, but in terms of this, he has been compassionate.
Yep.
He has been clear. He has been a communicator. He has been informative. Yep. He is organized. His presentations are letter perfect in terms of coordinating the visuals with what he's saying. He knows what he's doing. He's professional. And that is why Trump started bashing him.
Of course. Oh, is Trump bashing him again? Because I know he said a couple of nice things about him. But because Andrew Cuomo is getting accolades, because people are commenting on what a great job he's doing and how they wish he was president right now. Because we have someone who can take control, someone who is credible. Except I heard his thing this morning, and he made one glaring error. If you get the coronavirus, we don't know that you're immune. They don't know that yet. And in fact, I double checked because he said that, you know, if you get it and once you're feeling better, then you can go back to work because you have immunity. They don't know that. This is still a brand new disease. It has been in our lives for 3 months now. They don't know a whole lot about it, and they don't know if you develop immunity after getting it.
And as far as that medicine with the long name that I can't pronounce, hydroxyquinone or whatever it is, the reason people are first of all, I had trolls jump on me because I posted that story, the original story about the couple that took it, and the husband died, and the wife is in critical bad condition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the reason they said they didn't take the medicine. They took their own, you know why they took it?
Because
the name of what they took sounds exactly like the name of the medicine.
It's the same thing.
And Trump's been hawking nonstop, both in his tweets and on TV and in radio, whatever you name it. He's been hawking this medicine so hard that people are now people with immunodeficiency diseases
can't get
that medicine.
You know, our friend, twin mom Sue, works at she runs a pharmacy at a small rural hospital in Illinois. And they can't get that drug anymore.
No, they can't. People are there. That's why he trotted out Barr yesterday, because people are hoarding things like medicines and masks and whatnot. So even though Trump didn't need to bring Barr out to say this, Barr came trotting out to make Trump look like a big tough guy and real important and official and stuff. I'm surprised he wasn't wearing a badge and a little cowboy hat. But he came out and said, you know, it's against the law now to do that. We are now putting our foot down. Because people are doing that because Trump opened his big fat fucking mouth.
That's right. Well, so here's what Sue wrote last night. She said, FYI, I am a hospital pharmacist and can no longer order this medication or azithromycin from my patients because it's on indefinite back order from my wholesaler because a gibbering idiot decided to stand before America and proclaim to his cult followers that he is an uninformed hunch that it will cure COVID-19. So she can no longer get hydrochloroquine, nor can she get azithromycin, a Z-Pak. Those are standard antibiotics that Trump says they work in conjunction with each other. He doesn't know shit. And now
an antibiotic is an anti bacterial.
Right.
And unless you have a secondary bacterial infection, that will do you no good. As far as the other one, they have not proven that it'll help, and they haven't proven that it's any kind of close to a cure. They haven't even, they're just starting trials of it today in New York. And that's, like you said, a cocktail of the two things. So nobody knows anything about it. So Trump's going around pounding his chest and saying, you got to take this. It's a cure. And meanwhile, people are taking the wrong thing.
And
they're using
themselves.
Something that's used for cleaning fluid or something. And they're drinking it and dying because of his stupidity.
And then you got Anthony Fauci, who finally over the weekend did a couple of interviews and said, look, I can't go up and snatch the microphone away from him, but I do my best to try to say what's real and what's not. And now Trump has silenced him. He wasn't at the briefing yesterday, and he wasn't at this thing that they did at Fox today, because Trump wants his word to be the final say instead of the actual medical expert.
Yeah, he wants to say what will help him. He does not want to say what will help us.
Of course.
He doesn't care about our lives. He cares about his political life. Pro-life my ass. That's my hashtag that I use all the time. LOL GOP said, this GOP plan to, quote, turn the economy back on in less than 15 days is bloodthirsty madness.
Yeah.
But it also misses the big point. The economy was crashing before all the shutdowns, in part because this administration proved it wasn't taking COVID-19 seriously enough.
You know, the other thing that, you know, the fact that he's talking about in one of the things, and I don't have a clip. If I did, I wouldn't play it anyway, about Boeing. Boeing is one of our great American companies. Of course we have to help them. Really? Boeing, which is on the verge of bankruptcy before any of this happened because of their massive fuck up with the 737 MAX airplanes that were defective. They knew they were defective and they let them fly anyway. I'm sorry. Now, so Trump said, well, we'll take a piece of equity for helping them. Boeing today said, well, we don't want, if that's the case, we don't want your help. Fuck any of it. I don't want to help Boeing. I don't want my taxpayers tax dollars going to bail out Boeing. And I don't want to own a piece of Boeing because that's a company that's doomed to fail because they fucked up and didn't value human lives enough to make sure their planes were safe before they sent them out in the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God, I'm pissed off. This is why we start the show with a funny every day, because it gets like this. All right. Sorry.
It's crazy. Okay. So South China Morning Post had tweeted, South Korea has set up phone booths, and that's in quotes, little, like they look like phone booths, that can test people for the coronavirus in just 7 minutes.
Yeah.
The country has earned praise for its mass testing amid the pandemic. And so David Waldman, who was KGrow X, said, put this shit on an airplane and fly it the fuck over here, Mr. I alone can fix it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
How hard is it? I mean, you know, you can do things. There are things we can be doing that. And by the way, this whole thing about the ventilators and how they're ordering them and they're, oh my God, there's thousands. First of all, we need
and
more
the tests. Tests. Yeah. Anyone who wants one can get one. What are you talking about?
Yeah, for anybody. Yeah. As Cuomo pointed out, if you're starting to build them or order them now, it will take weeks and they need them
now. Right.
So by the time you get them, you don't need them anymore. Those people have died.
Right. So there's the ventilator. So now we learn that there's a strategic stockpile that the federal government has with like 30,000 ventilators or something like that. And Andrew Cuomo says that the federal government is sending him 400. He's like, what the hell am I going to do with 400?
Exactly.
You want to tell the other 30,000 people or whatever, that they're going to die?
Yeah, I
have
that tweet.
Them.
In fact, I was taking screen grabs. I'll get to that in a little bit.
All right.
LOL GOP also was commenting on Laura Packard's tweet.
Mm, we know Laura.
And she said, Rand Paul was the only senator to vote against a bipartisan $8 billion deal to provide emergency coronavirus funding earlier this month. Get well soon, Senator, because we're all in this together. And LOL GOP said, COVID-19 is a messy beast, went after the one senator on its side.
Yeah, isn't that funny? As I said in What's News yesterday, karma's a bitch.
Yep. And then Jake Sherman of Politico knew. Senator Rand Paul also played golf. You know, he went to the gym. We all know he went to the gym
in the pool.
Okay. So Senator Rand Paul also played golf at the Tony Robert Trent Jones Golf Club in Virginia last week, Thursday. Club did a deep cleaning this morning, and the lobbyist he was playing with and the caddy will self-quarantine for 14 days.
Oh my God! But I'm sure they can't get tests though because they're not they don't have symptoms.
They don't count.
Right. So and they're not rich and powerful, or they're not a senator.
Oh, and no, and it gets worse. Rand Paul's aides had never been told that Paul might have been, Kyle Griffin, this is today, had never been told that he might have been exposed to the virus or had been tested for it, according to a person familiar with the situation. And some began to fear they could have contracted it and spread it to their friends and family.
Right. And after the news broke that Rand Paul, you know, tested positive, the people, he was at a Senate luncheon on Friday where he sat with, go figure, Mitt Romney and Mike Lee of Utah. They had no idea. And so in the press thing yesterday, did you hear this? I just have to play this because this shows the state of mind of this demented fool who is occupying the Oval Office right now.
On top of Senator Paul, now four senators are in isolation. And the rules say that in order to vote, they Romney, Senator Lee,
Senator Gardner,
and
Rick Scott.
Senator Rick Scott also. Two of them were in contact
Rick is coming out.
With the critical stimulus package vote expected.
Romney's in isolation?
Yes.
Gee, that's too bad. Go ahead.
What a fucking asshole he is. Gee, too bad. Hey, Donald Trump, I got a song for you.
Fuck you. Fuck you very, very much.
That was just so fucking uncalled for. But that's him. That's him in a nutshell. That is him in a nutshell.
He's all about cruelty.
Yeah.
Andy Slavitt, who was the former Obama Medicare Medicaid person, said, "We're about 2 weeks behind on masks. It's like trying to pay a loan shark after you've waited too long."
It's like trying to pay a loan
trying
shark.
Trying to pay a loan shark your money long. After you've already waited too
long. Yeah, you get a broken head, and
that's right. It's too late. Chris Hayes had a thread that I'd like to read. It's a little bit long, but I think it's good. Or I could wait to the end because there's a couple of quickies I could give you in the meantime. Let me do that. Schooley said mass dying they can handle. Mass voting is a red alert crisis.
Mass dying we can handle. Mass what?
Mass dying they, meaning Republicans, meaning Trump, they can handle that. But mass voting, that's a big crisis.
Well, of course not. They don't want you to vote.
No, mine's okay, though.
Right.
Okay, so here's a headline, and I'll give you a little, like a one-line, takeaway quote.
Okay.
Julia Davis tweeted, this is from Vanity Fair, Trump won't order vital coronavirus supplies because corporate CEOs asked him not to. They're worried it could be bad for business. And then the pull quote is, free market diehard Larry Kudlow, i.e. Trump's never right National Economic Council director, was persuaded by such arguments, as was Trump's not very bright son-in-law, Jared Kushner. That's what they wrote about it in Vanity Fair. So, the corporate CEOs are telling him, hold back.
And that's all he cares about. And that's who he's listening to with this reopening thing, is they want him to open because they're all losing money. And Trump, of course, is losing money. And And we should mention that, the propaganda being pushed out by Mitch McConnell and the Republicans is really sickening. I mean, we expect it by now. But the reason the Democrats have been blocking this stimulus bill is because the main reason is because there's a $500 billion, what they're calling slush fund, to bail out big businesses that would have no oversight. And Trump said today, I'll do the oversight. I'll handle it. Well, gee, that's going to calm anybody down. So he's saying he and Steve Mnuchin will provide the oversight. Sorry, doesn't work for me. And it provides a 6-month window where they don't have to even say who the money is going to. That's not okay. And that's what the Democrats are trying to protect us. They don't want a repeat of TARP, where it was a bailout for the top and the average person got nothing out of it. They don't want to repeat that mistake. They're protecting us by stopping this from going through.
And while they're doing that, the stock market is up over 2,000.
Unbelievable.
And Trump will take credit for that, even though it's because the Democrats are walking in there and dealing and wheeling and doing their thing.
Yep.
Okay, so this is from Cuomo today.
Okay.
The rate of increase has gone up, doubling every, yeah, this is in New York, every 3 days. It's accelerating on its own, not a freight train, a bullet train. As he was saying that, Trump was tweeting the cure cannot be worse by far than the problem.
Ugh.
And then Cuomo goes on, as you were saying, to show that Trump, he needs 30,000 ventilators. Trump offered 400.
Yeah.
And the quote was, "You want a pat on the back?"
Right.
That's why Trump got mad at him today.
Ah, right.
Okay, so Schooley goes on to say, Schooley, my little friend, it would be one thing if Trump was offering rosy predictions based on the federal government getting its Test and Supplies Act together, but he wants to skip ahead without accomplishing any of the hard work.
Yeah.
It's like FDR declaring victory by Christmas 1941.
Okay.
That's what it's like.
Yep. I hear it. Everything about people should just not listen to him. And you know, look, what's his name? James Fallows from The Atlantic started this thread of journalists and other media folk who, you know, sign on to the idea that the TV networks need to stop carrying these briefings live.
Oh, Maddow went on TV and said it in a monologue that went viral.
Wow. Good for her.
She went out there and said, "Do not do this. He's lying. He's killing
yep.
people." I mean,
she's
in
people.
So many words, but she said it pretty bluntly.
Yep. Good.
So Wall Street said this to Trump: "Don't restart the economy before stopping the virus spread. What's the risk of reopening early? The risk is the number of cases continues to skyrocket, and longer term, you're just digging a much deeper hole."
Right.
This was from an analysis in the Washington Post this morning.
Yep. No, I hear it's going to get if he does this, if people start being empowered to now go out and go back to work and you know, he's like, they can go back to work and they can still do the social distancing. No, they won't. So,
and unfortunately, what happens is the governors of the states that are restricting people are doing the right thing. But then people who are in states that aren't restricting people travel into the states.
Perfect example. People are coming. They're leaving New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and coming down here to Florida because the idiot Ron DeSantis will not close this state. And so now he's saying anybody who arrives in Florida from that area has to quarantine for 14 days. Yeah, like that's going to happen.
Let's see if I can get through some of Chris Hayes's
thread.
All right, go. I'm watching the just let the virus do its thing and keep the economy humming school of thought grow on the right. And it seems worth noting something crucial. First, it is true that the trade-off right now between the pandemic and the Great Depression is going to be horrible. We need to get to a place where we can manage the virus and also have a normal life. The key to getting there is suppression, testing, tracing, and treatment. We're still a long way from that. But let's say you just think the costs outweigh the benefits and are not morally persuaded by the idea that we shouldn't let hundreds and thousands, if not millions, of disproportionately the oldest and sickest among us be left to die. So just think of the economics of this. If you stop lockdowns and send everyone back to work, lots and lots of people would get sick, and you'd have workplaces where half of the staff are out, and this would roll through all the kinds of places where people who maintain the electrical grid and water treatment and sewage systems, etc. Not only that, as the hospitals fill up and horror stories emerge, you'd have tons of deaths from things other than COVID-19 that couldn't get treated. This would make people more scared of getting the bug and lead to further retreat, which is to say, even if you care about economic activity as the only value here, it's really not clear that anything like business as usual is even a possibility in the midst of a roaring pandemic, even if you let everything stay open. One more sentence.
Yep.
In fact, you risk ending up with the worst of both worlds, mass death and sickness, and also an economy that's essentially shut down.
There you go.
I read that very quickly.
Yes, you did. And you did a good job. Got to
laugh.
You know, yesterday was the 10th anniversary of the passage of the Affordable Care Act. So if you remember back 10 years ago, I went through that whole thing on my show, spent a lot of time, a lot of interview hours with Wendell Potter, who was the insurance industry whistleblower. He will be my guest tomorrow to talk about why at this time in history, what we really need is Medicare for All. Hello.
He's right.
He is right. Thank you. Gotta Laugh. Find Laffy on the Twitters @GottaLaugh here every Tuesday. I'll see you later, Laffy.
Bye-bye.
And tomorrow, come on back because, yes, Wendell Potter will be joining us. And I think Dr. Stephen Thrasher, too. It'll be another busy day. There's so much going on. Thank you for being here. Thank you for gathering socially distant as we are. Until tomorrow, everyone, stay safe. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Bye.